This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The airline business could be on the rebound.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Today, the International Air Transport Association, the IATA, upgraded its forecast for the world's airlines this year. It forecasts the industry will earn $2.5 billion. Now, that reverses what the IATA said just a couple of months ago, that the global airline industry would lose more than $2.5 billion. Volcanic ash, nitpicky fees, summer travel bargains, all a part of the discussion as we welcome Seth Kaplan with Airline Weekly magazine. He's with us live from South Florida. Seth, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. So why the improved outlook? Seemed like just a few months ago everybody thought the airlines would lose a bunch of money again this year.
Yeah, well, some important things have happened. You know, oil has come down a bit, and a bit when you're talking about the global airline industry really adds up to hundreds of millions and sometimes billions of dollars. So you have cheaper oil, you do have an economic recovery going on, some more travel demand, and for U.S. airlines, you also have a stronger U.S. dollar, which is helpful to them on the cost side. So a number of different things going on that have really brightened the picture.
Yeah, the dollar, you know, I think about the euro, a lot of people going to Europe.
Well, you know, on that front, it is, yeah, certainly helpful for Americans who want to travel there as well. So there's that revenue benefit that Europe is more attractive, and airlines who all pay for their fuel, their aircraft in U.S. dollars, regardless of where they're located, well, if you're a U.S. airline, you're basically getting a little bit of a discount on all of that. So it's mostly good news all around.
I want to talk a little bit about those U.S. airlines, because for a while it seemed like they were going the way of the car industry, Seth. I mean, what's behind this turnaround?
Yeah, well, especially those factors that we talked about, the cheaper fuel, I mean, not cheap by historical standards, but airlines, you know, most of them managed to survive with fuel about twice as expensive as it is now. So it sure seems cheap to them. And again, because travel demand is up considerably, I mean, we're talking about, you know, in some cases, revenue up 20% versus the depths of last year when the recession was at its worst, when the H1N1, the swine flu scare was at its worst. And so things are much brighter now with costs, especially fuel, still at manageable levels. So airlines can really live with this kind of situation.
And mergers, I would imagine, have something to do with that as well.
Yeah, mergers help the industry, certainly. United and Continental, of course, now are trying to finalize their merger. A couple years ago, Delta and Northwest merged, and Delta, in fact, is doing better than most of its competitors because they were able to eliminate some redundancies and provide a more comprehensive product, and certainly mergers do help. They can push fares up a little bit when you eliminate a little bit of competition, but still a very fragmented industry, a lot of competition. But it makes for a more efficient industry.
Seth Kaplan with Airline Weekly magazine from Fort Lauderdale. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. BP said today it's been successful in siphoning off an increasing amount of oil. It's the latest attempt at stopping the undersea gusher in the Gulf of Mexico. And the cost of all of its supposed fixes and the cleanup has topped $1.25 billion, not including the sand berms the government's forcing the company to build to protect the coast along the Louisiana Gulf Coast there in the southeast. Let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed right now. Actually, stocks are a little lower here stateside. The S&P off just about a tenth of a percent. The NASDAQ and Dow, the NASDAQ off about a half a percent, and the Dow down about 19 points at 99.12. European shares off a percent or more, and Asian markets got hammered today. Japan's Nikkei lost nearly 4%. Last week, the Hungarian government said the country was close to defaulting on its debt payments, comparing it to Greece. Today, Hungary's finance minister says any comparisons to the massive Greek debt are misguided. And the government says it'll announce how it plans to balance the budget. From Budapest, the BBC's Nick Thorpe reports for Marketplace.
The new Hungarian government insists that the previous leadership stepped down with plenty of skeletons left in the closet. But now the new administration has tripped over the bones. The Prime Minister's spokesman, in comments apparently meant purely for domestic consumption, horrified markets last week by comparing Hungary to Greece. Within minutes, the Hungarian currency fell dramatically. Ministers who actually are in charge of economic policy have been struggling to repair the damage. Michael Hughes is a London-based economist.
Well, I think the lesson for the Hungarian government to learn is that comments that were made for a domestic audience in this day and age do travel very quickly.
Even before Greece became a global economic concern, Hungary had received a $25 billion rescue package from the international community to cope with its recession. The weekend panic has had one positive effect. The government has been forced to prepare its plans to fix the economy. In Budapest, I'm the BBC's Nick Thorpe for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com.
Yahoo wants to be everyone's friend on Facebook. The company's rolling out new features that will allow its users to view Facebook content on Yahoo sites. Here's Marketplace's Jennifer Collins.
Yahoo's been in tech for about as long as many of us have been online. And technology analyst Barry Fox says that's a long time in digital years.
I'm old enough to remember when Yahoo was the main search engine.
Then came Google, and Yahoo's been losing market share ever since. Now, Fox says Yahoo is hoping to link up with Facebook and keep people plugged in that way. You won't have to leave Yahoo to know what your Facebook friends are doing. It'll also allow you to keep track of Yahoo services like the photo sharing site Flickr through your Facebook page. Fox says Yahoo needs to keep its business relevant, and to do that, it needs to keep eyeballs on its pages.
Really, what this is about, it's getting people to look at the advertising that is on these sites.
And for Facebook, this deal connects its nearly 500 million users back to Facebook in yet another way. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, Phil Locke has crushed the world record for continuously playing poker. He just wrapped up 115 hours at a game he started last Wednesday at the Bellagio in Las Vegas. He ended the run ahead more than $6,700, all of which will go to Camp Sunshine, a retreat for kids with terminal illnesses. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.